All right, so for today, we do want to chase this theme that we're going to talk about, and we've titled it here, Give Me Your Eyes, okay? So kids, don't get all panicked. We're not asking Jesus to take the eyes out of his face and put them on ours, okay? It's not take them out and give them to me. We're wanting to be able to see the world the way that Jesus sees it, and specifically people. And so we'll talk through that a little bit here this morning. Luke 7 is where we're going to be, so if you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you don't, you can follow along on the wall today. The text is there, as always, just for personal benefit there. So we'll be there in just a minute. I always like to talk to you, and we're going to talk here this morning. So the focus here is about having a proper perspective. So let me ask you this question. Have you ever found yourself in a position where you made the wrong conclusion about something? You know, where you got to an answer and you determined that this is right, but then hindsight, looking back, you're like, oh man, I was really wrong, right? I was really wrong. And so we're all kind of nodding our heads here and smiling a little bit, so I would say that we've all been there, and maybe we've been there recently, I don't know. But the point is this, typically when that happens, it's because we're either not dealing with all the pieces of the puzzle, right? So I've got one side of the story, not two or four, ten, or however many there are, or I'm kind of biased, or I'm kind of prejudiced, as we've talked about in our morning studies today. And so sometimes I reach a conclusion about somebody simply because of my bias or prejudice. And so for you dads, when a teacher or a coach came to you and said, your child's having this problem, if I'm biased and prejudiced, I might say, not my child. You know, you've got the wrong child. It's my child's a good child. Good in the classroom, good on the field, good at home. You're talking about somebody else's child, right? So we would reach a conclusion based on our bias, maybe not based on the actual information. You know, I saw this last Christmas. Maybe you guys saw it as well. There was a video of five black men, big guys, that went to like a all kind of white suburb neighborhood, and they're kind of dressed, looking kind of rough, and they knock on the door, and they're standing there like this. Only intimidating. I'm not intimidating at all, but they're standing there and they're intimidating. And so people come to the door, and it's this door that has glass on both sides, and they won't open the door. And they're talking through the door. What do you want? What do you need? And they don't say a word. They just stand there. The first one's a woman, and she starts to get a little panicked, and so she hides behind the door. I mean, what would you do? All right? And I'm not saying that this is unwise or anything like that. Well, about 30 seconds in, this one guy starts snapping his fingers, and they're an a cappella singing group. And so they break into a Christmas song, and it was just awesome. So she opens the door and invites her whole family to come out, and they sit there and they enjoy this Christmas song. So initially, the eyes that she was looking at was like danger or caution or don't open the door. And I'm not saying that wasn't wisdom there, but it could also have been a little bit of prejudice. You know, it could have been, I'm not real comfortable here. And so I'm not going to associate or let myself get wrapped up or connected with these people. All right? Another video that was popular, and we showed this here a few years ago. You remember the video, Charlie Bit Me? All right, Charlie Bit Me, if you haven't seen it, you know, you might get a chance to see it this morning. Charlie Bit Me is basically, it looks like two brothers. One's maybe four and one's about 1 year old, and they're sitting in like a recliner chair, and the 1 year old is in the lap of the 4 year old. Okay? And so let's say that we are Charlie's parents and the boy, Charlie and the boy, the 4 year old. And so we hear a little boy scream. We hear the boy scream, then he says, Charlie bit me, and he comes running into the next room where we are. And so as all kids do, they'd say, hey mom, hey dad, you know, Charlie bit me. And so what would we want to do? What would we want to know? All right, yeah, so we'd want to know, that's very good. See, that's wisdom, all right? What we would look for initially are some signs. So if I saw tears in the four-year-old's eyes, I'd say, well, he is in some pain. I'd probably say, hey, let me see your finger. And if he showed me his finger, sure enough, there's teeth marks in it. He was just sitting in there with his brother, all right? He screamed. I heard the scream, so all that makes sense. So I'm going to conclude that Charlie did bite him. As a good parent, I'm going to think of a way, how can I discipline or help correct my 1 year old son who's just bitten his brother, right? I mean, that's not allowed in our house. We don't bite people. That's just not, it's normal for a little child, but we've got to break that. We don't want you being 30 year old and biting people. So we're going to work to correct this little habit maybe of yours. And so we may just go approach Charlie and say, Charlie, you're in trouble. All right? Or Charlie just probably grin at you with those four teeth. You know, he wouldn't know any different. But he would probably receive some sort of discipline. Now, if that's the conclusion we reached, that is a possible conclusion. But what we're going to see here, if I can play this thing, is if we've reached the right conclusion. All right? So you watch it, and then we'll try to debrief this here.
Charlie bit me. Ouch! Ouch! Ouch, Charlie! Ouch! Charlie, that really hurts! Charlie bit me. And that really hurt, Charlie, and it's still hurting.
Looks like Charlie has a biting problem, doesn't he? He's biting everything. All right, so we concluded that Charlie should be in trouble. Now, after video evidence, would you change your decision? All right, yeah, so you didn't tell me the whole story, right? You didn't tell me that you stuck your finger in his mouth. What did you expect to happen, right? And so now I would probably get on my four-year-old as well and like, you've got to use some more common sense here. I mean, that's not smart. He should have bit you. One-year-old puts something in their mouth and they bite it. So that makes sense. So sometimes we reach conclusions like that. We have part of the scenario, part of the story. Somebody's told us some things and we see it from their vantage point and we draw a conclusion without being able to actually understand the whole picture. Okay? And so what we're looking at here today is really having a proper perspective on people. Proper perspectives on situations rather than just drawing conclusions about somebody. You know, I tell my students often, you know, sometimes somebody will come to you and say, oh, I wouldn't trust that person. I don't like them. They always say mean things to me. They're just not very nice. Okay? That may have been their experience, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be your experience. And so you need to allow them to at least have a relationship with you. Maybe you'll reach the same conclusion, maybe you won't. But for me, just to take your word for something and not get both sides of the story, or however many sides there are, is foolish. And so we don't want to be foolish people. We don't want to draw false conclusions. So we're going to try to ask Jesus this morning to give us his eyes on people. All right, so we're going to be in Luke chapter 7, and here we're going to find Jesus at a dinner party. He was an invited guest. We're going to see that there is an uninvited guest who shows up and kind of wrecks the party. And we'll see kind of how we would work in this same situation. So if you've got your Bibles, let's track here together this morning. Verse 36 through verse 50. All right, so it begins. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And so he went to the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and she stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet, and she anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered him. Notice this Pharisee wasn't talking to Jesus, but Jesus answers him. And he said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And so he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? What's the answer? Simon said, and I suppose he wasn't convinced, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, okay? Turn to the woman, says to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss. This is just a salutation or a greeting. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Okay? And so here today we're going to look into this through the eyes of Jesus. We're going to try to capture a proper perspective of how we should look at people, all people. Okay? All people. And so three things we'll highlight today as we progress through this message. And if you'd like to follow along in your bulletin, you know that you always can. All right, so I invite you to do so if you so choose. All right, so here initially, through the eyes of Jesus, we're going to see that all people, everybody is worth saving. All people are worth saving. So here in our text, we find Jesus, once again, he's at a dinner party with a Pharisee. And when I read this text, I had all sorts of questions. What's he doing at a Pharisee's house? Why is she kissing feet? Right, that just seems odd to me. All sorts of questions here, and some of those we'll address this morning. But here we find Jesus as an invited guest. Also, there is an uninvited guest, and this woman is known as a what? All right, so it could be that she's kind of a woman of the night, so to speak, or prostitute, something like that. We're not real sure, but she's known as a sinful woman in the city. Okay? That's her reputation, and for whatever reason, she has earned that. So she hears, we don't have her name, but she hears that Jesus is going to be at Simon's house one particular day or night, and so she's going to go and show up, okay? Jesus is invited. She is what? She's not. So she is an uninvited guest here in the house of Simon. Now, that probably wouldn't be a big deal if she would have just kind of grabbed some punch and cake and stood in the corner, right? Simon may not have even known that she was there because there were other guests there. We see that at the end. You know, they say, what? Who is this man who can forgive sins is what the other guests said. So there's Simon, Jesus, other guests, unnamed woman. So if she just kind of minded her own business, nobody would have cared. But she didn't. And so the Bible says they're reclining at a table, and you'll probably remember their tables were lower than ours. They didn't sit in chairs. It was custom to lay on your left side. Okay, so if this is a table, I'd lay on my left side, kind of propped up my elbow, my feet are behind me. And we would all just kind of lay around, lounge around a table and eat. Wouldn't that be nice? And we've barely got 5 minutes some days to eat, let alone sit down and eat. And so this is how they were doing it. It was their custom. They sit around the table and they eat. Now this woman, she comes behind Jesus, right? So he's laying out this way. So she stands behind him. His feet are here. And she starts weeping. And she's weeping so much that she gets his feet soaked. All right, and so as any good person would do, if you make the mess, what do? You clean it up. And so she sees his feet all wet. She's got the ability to dry it. So she takes her hair, stoops down, starts drying his feet with her hair, and then it gets weird. What's she do? She starts kissing his feet. You don't have to answer this to me, but have you ever kissed feet? Yeah, maybe babies. But a man who's been outside walking with just open sandals, his feet weren't clean, remember? Simon didn't give him anything to clean his feet with, so he's still dirty feet, probably calloused. Who knows what Jesus' feet look like? And she just starts kissing him. I mean, I just can't hardly imagine that. And then she had brought some fragrant oil with her, and she begins to pour it over his feet, rub it in there on his feet, and to anoint him, so to speak. So she stoops down to do this in Simon's house as an uninvited guest. Now, before we get to be too harsh on Simon, I want you to put yourself in that situation. We're all having a dinner party, and we've got a special guest at our house. And in comes an uninvited woman that we know is trouble. She's got a shady past, she's a sinful person, and she comes in and does this same thing at our dinner party. What's your response? It's time for you to go, right? So she's standing there just boo-hooing, sobbing, wiping feet of our guest, kissing their feet. I mean, we would just be panicked. I don't think my response would be, man, this is such a beautiful thing. Would you respond that way? No, no way. And yet we'll see here, that's how Jesus is going to respond. But Simon didn't. Let's look at Simon's response here for a minute. If you've got your Bibles open, we're going to go back to verse 39. It says, when the Pharisee, Simon, who had invited Jesus, when he saw this going on, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, what's he implying? He's implying now that Jesus is not a prophet. Jesus, this is not God. This is not the one that we had been waiting for. It's not him. Because if it were him, he would know this woman. He would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is. That she is a, what? She's a sinner. She is a sinner. And that's the only way Simon would ever see this woman. She is a shady, sinful woman. There's no grace for her. There's no nothing for her. She's an invited guest in my home. She's just ruining my party. I'm sure she's offending my guest. At least I thought she would be. He's trying to figure this whole thing out. Do you think Simon was a sinner? Yeah. So the second question is, yeah, did he think he was? I mean, Simon was, what do we know him as? He's a Pharisee. Okay? And so as a Pharisee, he would have thought pretty highly of himself. And so I am a Pharisee. You are not. You're a woman from the sinful city. Therefore, high and looked at high, high esteem, Simon. Low value, sinful, unnamed woman. Okay? This is the perspective that Simon has over her. Now, do you think Simon would have considered himself worthy of God's favor? Worthy of God's favor. I think if anybody in the room would have, it probably would have been Simon, this Pharisee. We don't know if the other guests were Pharisees or not, but Simon would have thought he had the one-way track to God, and he was better than all the people in this room. And so if anybody's going to be highly favored, it is me, or it would have been him. Do you think Simon would have ever thought that God would show favor to the sinful woman? Not at all. All right? And that's out of his own mouth. All right? Because he's saying of her, the only thing he can think of when he sees her is she is a sinner. And listen, sometimes this is how we see people. Sometimes this is the past that we can't get past. We look at a person and we know them, and all we see when we see them is sinner. We see them as a home wrecker, or you name it, wrecker. We see them as a problem. We see them as someone to avoid. We see them as someone who is just guilty, disgusting. Not anyone that I want my children around. You're a sinful person. I want nothing to do with you. Sometimes we only work with half the information and we reach the wrong conclusion that the only thing that person will ever be is sinful. Was she a sinner? Absolutely. And Jesus acknowledged her sins. Matter of fact, he says she has many of them. So he didn't just act like she didn't sin. He acknowledged her sin. Yeah, she was a sinner. But the truth of the matter this morning is, so are we. And so if Jesus can get past my past, he can do that for anybody. Therefore, I don't have the right to draw a line or draw a conclusion on any person and say, you're just a sinner. Get away from me. I can't believe what you've done. You've ruined this. You should have never been here. You should have never started. We look at people just like Simon did this woman. All you are is a sinner, and that's all you'll ever be. As though there is no grace, no ability for those people to be forgiven. See, when Jesus died on the cross, what he showed, at least in part, is that in his eyes, it was worth it to offer forgiveness to whom? To everyone. Forgiveness for everyone. There's 10 or 12 verses in the New Testament alone that talk about how salvation is for everyone. Jesus died for everyone. The Father is patient so that everyone will repent. Whosoever, whoever's thirsty, come drink. I mean, you name it. In just about every book of the New Testament, it's for all people. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but sometimes I make prejudiced conclusions. I look at somebody who's been involved in a situation, I say, you're the problem. And I've got no grace for you. I've got no support for you. You've hurt me, or you've hurt my family, you've hurt other people. You need to go away. You're nothing but a troublemaker. You and your whole family. Sometimes we need to step back and ask God to give us His eyes. Help me see this situation from your vantage point. Jesus was able not only to pronounce it, but He was able to do it. Luke 7, verse 48, He says, "Then Jesus said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.'" And so through the eyes of Jesus here initially, we see this, that all people are worth saving. Who's your enemy? I mean, right now, there's a name, there's a picture that just popped in your mind. Who's the person you can't stand? Who's a family member you struggle with? Who's a person, maybe even in your own church family, that you just have a hard time with? They are worth saving. Therefore, if they're worth saving, it means it's worth the investment on my part to try to reach that person. I don't care if you like me or not. You don't define me. My identity is wrapped up in Jesus, what He's done for me, not whether or not you receive me. So I can love you even though you hate me. I can speak well to you when you spit in my face. I can want what's best for you when you just do nothing but backbite me. And I don't mean you in general, I mean particular talking to me, just in a general situation. That could be anybody. Did Jesus die for terrorists? Did Jesus die for Mr. Mateen, who walks into a club in the middle of the night and starts shooting people? Yes, He did. Listen, sometimes we look at that and all we can say is that's sinful and He's getting what He deserves. I don't want that mindset. If I want for Him to get what He deserves, then that means I should want that for me. And I don't want what I deserve. And I promise you, you don't either. Now, we're going to come up into this time of year where we're going to see, I mean, it's just going to split, right? Democrat, Republican. And I can side with you because you vote like me and I just can't stand. How could you possibly think that's a good choice? What a moron. You're what's wrong with our country. And what we've got to remind ourselves is, I need the eyes of Jesus here. Presidents come and go. Countries come and go. Money comes and goes. Success comes and goes. Our life is going to come and go. The truth of the matter is, if there is a cross and there was a dead Savior hanging on that cross who was buried and resurrected, then it's worth it for every person, regardless of whether we like Him or not. You know, the Bible talks about, Jesus talked about, what credit is it to me if I love people who love me in return? That's no credit. That's easy. You want to see the power of God displayed in your life? Love somebody that hates you. Go do something kind for somebody that can't stand you. And then let's watch God work. You know, sometimes you just got to show up in a person's life so God can show off. The point here this morning initially is, through the eyes of Jesus, we want to see all people as though they are worth being saved. And that will change the way I live my life. Every person is worth it. All right, let's progress here this morning. Secondly, through the eyes of Jesus, we're going to see that there's some compassion for those who are broken. So let me just ask you a question. Let's say that a person just walked into this room and they were sobbing. I mean, uncontrollably sobbing. Would you move to help them? Would anybody in this room just dismiss themselves and, hey, say, can we go out and just talk for a minute? From my vantage point, I would say, yes, I've seen you guys do things like this before. And so one of the questions that I have here is this. Simon, why aren't you moved by this woman's tears? Listen, Simon's a good churchgoer. Reads his Bible, tithes, prays. He dresses accordingly, tries not to do things, does something. He's a good churchgoer. Simon, why can you see this woman in great distress and you're not moved by her tears? The only thing you can say is, you disgust me. You're a sinner. You're just wrecking my party. Where's your compassion is one of the questions that I'd have for Simon. See, she's weeping and you're just rolling your eyes. Here she goes again. You ever been there, done that? Oh, good grief. Dry it up, sister. Quit your belly aching, brother. It's all you ever do. There's no compassion. She's broken. And all he's doing is seeking to break her more. He's condemning her. See, his judgment over her as a sinful woman, the only place it led him was to be hard-hearted. And so he wasn't looking at her through the eyes of Christ with compassion. He was looking at her as a sinner. And she just wasn't worth his time. She just wasn't worth his time. And the thing is, he felt like he was justified in his position, didn't he? Because he says to himself, well, if he knew it was touching him, he would be a prophet, but he doesn't know it's touching him, so he's definitely not God. You ever talk to yourself under your breath, hoping that somebody else hears it? You look up and they're like, oh yeah, right? That's exactly what he's doing here. He wanted Jesus to hear. I can't believe he's letting her touch him. How gross. I'm a Pharisee. Your sin doesn't touch me. Good grief, woman, get out of my house. No compassion for her whatsoever. He was disgusted. He was disgusted by her. And so again, that's why he said to Jesus in verse 39, or said of Jesus, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. You ever been disgusted with somebody? You ever been in a situation where you could have shown compassion and you're like, there ain't no way. You messed it up. You think I got compassion for you? You better think again. All right? And we like to get our, yeah, I'll tell you right now. Yeah, I'll tell you right now. I'll tell you right now. I'll mess right back. Come on, bring it. You know, we get to this attitude like we're justified in hating somebody. With the eyes of Christ, we're always to have compassion. We see that in Jesus. Was Jesus disgusted by this woman? I'm telling you right now, and I know this won't happen, you start kissing my feet and we've got issues. I'm going to vomit. And nothing against you, it's just kissing feet. I just don't get it. I mean, I do in the story, it's an act of humility. You know, she wasn't worthy of feeling like to kiss him on the cheek where most people greet one another. She just felt entirely blessed that she could be at his feet and worship. That she could be connected with Jesus really, truly as a sinful woman and be forgiven. I mean, it was amazing. And so Simon's looking there talking under his breath, totally trying to hold it in, and Jesus is like, this is a beautiful thing, Simon. You have no idea what you're witnessing. Somewhere along the way, we don't know where, but this unnamed woman heard Jesus talk about forgiveness of sins. And when she walks in this room, she walks in this room as a woman who's going to be forgiven. She knew Jesus could take care of her. And so she comes in, she weeps over her sinfulness, and she bows down in worship over him, acknowledging that he's her Lord, he's her Savior. It's just a beautiful act of worship. And so Jesus doesn't brush her off, say, go away, woman, this is disgusting. He treats her with compassion. And this is to be our response as well. Every person I meet, I've got to work with compassion. I've got to try to see them through the eyes of compassion. I've got to try to love them the way that Jesus would just as well. See, they need people who are willing to look beyond their sin. You know, sometimes we get in our head that we're pretty easy to love. And I know I'm not. I'm not saying you're probably a lot easier to love than I am. And still yet, it's a requirement, it's a commandment that we love one another, right? I mean, didn't Jesus sum up like some 618 commandments with two? Love God with all you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. It's a commandment that we love people. And so to run under our breath or to get defensive or to strike out or lash out or to not care is simply not seeing people through the eyes of Christ. I mean, I don't want to be there. I don't want you there either, and that's why we're talking about this today, all right? And third and last this morning, through the eyes of Jesus, we're going to see that only he can correctly judge a heart. Only he can correctly judge a heart, okay? And so all we can see is the exterior. That's all you can see about Corey Penn. That's all I can see about you. We can see each other's works. We can hear words, but we cannot see the motivation behind the works or the words. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I pray the right words and my heart's not there. You ever been there? I'm praying the way that a Christian, like somebody who wants God's glory, should really pray, but it's like my heart is way over here apart from what's coming out of my mouth. But you'd never know that. But God knows everything about us, and He knows our heart. And so Simon makes a heart conclusion about the exterior, right? He draws a line in the sand and says she's a sinful woman, not worthy of forgiveness. She's not worthy of compassion. She's an uninvited, disgusting guest in my house, and she needs to go. And yet here we see a total different response from Jesus. See, Simon was totally wrong. And so Jesus understood why she was doing what she was doing. So let's go back to the text. Let's read these four verses here, and you can follow along as we read. It says, then he turned toward the woman, this is Jesus, and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house, and you did not give me any water for my feet, which was just common. That's not a big deal. That's how it happened. All right? You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears, and then she wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss. And here again, this is common. You know, we have kind of adopted some of these students from SIUE here over the last year. And that's one of the ways they greet one another. You know, and so I'm kind of awkward in it. And it's still kind of awkward when they leave our house or whatever, you know, because, you know, I'm kind of like a, you know, do I hug? Do I shake? So I usually just stay back and kind of pat. You know, I'm super awkward in it. But they want to come up and just kiss you on each side of the cheek. So all this is, it's a greeting. It's not some kind of romantic deal. All right, so Simon, you didn't even greet me. You didn't even welcome me. Okay, you invited me, but that's as far as it went. You didn't give me any water for my feet. You didn't really welcome me into your home. And yet from the time that I've entered this room, she's not stopped kissing my feet. All right, and it was common as well to put oil on head, and it was kind of a thing of fragrance. You know, people didn't ride in air-conditioned cars from home to church. Right, so they did a lot of walking, or they did a lot of riding on the back of animals, or walking with animals through fields that animals live in. Okay, you know what happens when you go outside? You ever come in smelling like Granite City or wherever you're from? I mean, I'll come in and my wife will say, man, I can tell you've been outside. You stink, right? We've got a couple dogs next door, and I don't know how it works, but you can be outside for 5 minutes and you come in and you smell like a dog. Never touch them. And so here, this was just kind of a fragrance thing. If I'm going to eat at the table with you, I don't want to smell your stench. So I'm going to put some oil on your head so that you smell good. He said, you didn't even do that for me. And yet she has poured this perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love is shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And so here we've got Jesus, and he knew what was compelling this woman's act of worship. He knew what was driving her to weep and to wipe and to pour and to kiss. It was her great love for him because of her faith in him. See, she knew she was forgiven. She knew Jesus could take care of her sins, even though this supposedly religious person looked at her as just disgustingly sinful. She knew Jesus would not turn her away. And so he welcomes her in, and he rightly says, or he says rightly rather, that he judges her heart. All right, because of her faith, she's loved much. She has great love for me. And so he saw beyond kind of the awkwardness of the moment to the heart of the woman. And he knew that she was genuine, that it was an act of worship, repentance, of just great love. You know, sometimes I can look at a person's actions and make the wrong conclusion about them. Ever been there? Now, sometimes we come in at just the right time. Yesterday I'm in the parking lot at Shop and Save, and I see a husband and wife going at it, just yelling. And kids are in the back seat and they're crying. And I'm sitting here. It's one of those things like I shouldn't even be watching this. Like, I shouldn't be allowed to hear this. But sinful Corey, it's kind of one of those things I couldn't look away from either. It's like train wreck. So I get in the store, do a little shopping, and this husband and wife, I'm assuming they're husband and wife, they come in, they're together, and she's crying, and she's lost her purse, and it had all their money, everything in it. Left it at the store in Shopping Save, couldn't find it. And so I was like, man, out in the parking lot, I was thinking, what a wreck. You know, get your act together. You got kids in the back seat, and they're watching all the. If you want to fuss, take it somewhere else. Not public. What are you doing? And I go in and just see she's just broken is all it is. She's terrified. Have you got my purse? Looked all over the store, and they find it. And you just tell, oh. They were just reacting in a moment. We've all done that too, right? But dummy me, I drew the wrong conclusion initially. Sometimes we do that when we can't see the heart of a person. And so it's important to remember only God can really see their heart. Only God can judge their heart. Now we make right judgments about things that are right and wrong. But I can't make a judgment about whether or not they're saved or not unless they just blatantly come out and say so. And if their life doesn't bear fruit, I can make some right judgment there. But ultimately, still yet, Paul even said it himself, I don't even judge myself. I leave that to the one who will judge me rightly. And so here today, we've tried to talk through some ways that we need to try to see people. You know, God, give me your eyes for people in these sorts of ways. Give me the proper perspective as I go from this church service and I encounter a waiter or a waitress, or I'm in a car with somebody, or I get home and I talk to my neighbor, I go to the store and I see a stranger. Give me your eyes. Like, help me to see beyond what's on the exterior to value the soul of that person. Or maybe it's somebody I know. Help me to get past their past. Rather than judging them like Simon did, I want to see people the way that you do. See, we've all said we probably would have navigated this a little bit differently if this unnamed woman had showed up at our dinner party. We probably wouldn't have handled it the way Jesus did. And so all that tells us is we need the eyes of Christ. I need to be able to see people your way because I'm really struggling in my own. And so if I struggle with the story that's a couple thousand years old, I'm definitely going to struggle in my day-to-day life. And so this is a prayer for me. It's a common prayer for me. God, help me see people the way you do. Help me see people the way that you do. Because I want to be able to see past my own bias or prejudice and see somebody who is worth saving, who's worth compassion, who's worth you and I letting God be the judge over. And so Jesus asked Simon a very important question in that last little paragraph we read. He says to Simon, Simon, do you see this woman? You know, it's not that Simon couldn't physically see her, it's that he couldn't spiritually see her. And so God's calling us to the same thing today. Peace Church, do you see all these people in your world? I mean, God has a beautiful way of allowing our lives to intersect with other people so they can see that he loves them, he has grace for them, he has mercy for them, he cares for them. I mean, he's put that in us so that they might know it. And so the question that remains then is, do we see them the way that Jesus does?